said many times that the number of coronavirus cases is going up because testing is increasing.
That's right.
Do you acknowledge that it's going up for other reasons too? For example, that it's actually spreading? And what are you going to do to stop the spread?
Well, you know that we have one of the lowest mortality rates anywhere. If you know, Biden and Obama stopped their testing. They just stopped it. You probably know that. I'm sure you don't want to report it.
Lowest mortality rate in the world, according to the clip that you just heard. Trump just completely just continuing to flounder when it comes to this COVID thing.
Yeah, he's so divorced from reality. He's just looking for excuses to show that America is not, you know, the worst. It's actually great.
Yeah.
Even though our response to COVID has been fucking abysmal across the board.
And there's just some stats for you is 3.5 million total infections with only 1.6 million recovered. We hit the 140K mark of deceased, and that's the equivalent of 46 9/11s. That means 46 9/11s since this started.
That's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You know, it just came to me, like, because with 9/11 we had like a direct, well, mostly direct thing to blame. You know, it was Al-Qaeda, right? But there was the whole narrative about, oh, it's the Wuhan virus. It's the Wuhan flu, if you watch the
Kung flu. The horrible shit that they've come up with to call it and just divert the fact that, you know, there are 140,000 people now deceased from it. And I think the number that troubles me is that only 1.6 million have recovered out of the 3.5 million.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of reports of the virus lasting longer than anticipated, and also antibodies they seem to degrade faster. Compared to other antibodies for other viruses and shit. So that's there's still so much to learn about this virus, and it would be nice if our government would actually like take it seriously and actually try to research it. But of course they got to play cover up for everything.
Yeah. And it's surging in a majority of the country. Atlanta's going back to phase one, and Los Angeles is on the brink of just completely shutting down. And that's already with the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, ordering restaurants and bars and movie theaters to shut down again.
Yeah, and California is not surprising either. I mean, it's the most populated state, even though it's a huge state, but it's most populated. And there are some areas where it's just like not designed for optimal, you know, traffic. So people are going to get, it's just congested everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in your, coastal cities. Like I've lived on the coast, and it's just like, it does get very, very congested. And it's just like everybody's on top of each other. LA, despite being spread out, is very much congested. San Francisco, you're on top of each other because it's not that big of a city total. So yeah, I'm not surprised by California. New York is looking the best out of all of us right now. But that's because I guess they got hit so early and so hard.
Yeah, and they had to really crack down because the pressure was on them, on that state in particular. I guess New York is a little bit unique too, because there's like the tri-state area, and there's other surrounding states in the Northeast. So all of them have to really work together on a lot of shit already. So to me, it feels like the infrastructure was already there to communicate and coordinate with each other. And I think that's probably a really big factor where these other states, especially southern states, where, you know, people don't really want to or really have to communicate with each other as much as, you know, the super congested smaller states of the Northeast Coast. But even still, because of that, especially because of southern states, New York is forcing a 14-day quarantine for travelers who spend more than 24 hours in the state.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, and it's from 22 states that they are demanding this from. And travelers have to fill out paperwork just with their personal information. Rightfully so, because the states that these, a lot of them are southern states, Georgia, Florida, whatever, because they're being so irresponsible about their approach towards COVID, you know, this is states' rights in force, and yet, you know, you've of course got the conservatives and the Republicans being like, well, this is government overreach. They're trying to get our personal information and track us down like dogs and shit. Well, this is actually the same states' rights that they've been purporting forever, but it's not about racism this time. It's about, you know, preventing a pandemic from respreading to a state that's done a pretty good job of handling all things considered. Of course, there's still a lot of deaths, especially with nursing homes, which conservatives love to focus on nursing homes. Like, they only care about grandma and grandpa if it's in liberal states, but if it's in Republican states, like, fuck it. You know, fuck the elderly, fuck the 1%, fuck the vulnerable. And to that effect, the Georgia governor, Brian Kemp, who's a Republican, so there's been a couple of cities who have mandated wearing masks in the past week or so, because they're just like, they're actually trying to take it seriously. And Kemp basically said, no, I'm going to void all of those laws that mandate that people wear masks. Because freedom, I guess? I mean, maybe, I don't know. Who knows? Honestly, Kemp is he seems like a pretty high-ranking Republican as far as things go. And he seems to have a lot of connection. Trump was actually, like, really keen on defending him over the various COVID issues over the past couple months. So it seems like he has kind of connections of some sort. So it's really interesting to see Kemp in particular just say, hey, you can't make laws that require people to wear masks in your cities or counties. I don't know. It's really interesting to me. It's just, I wonder if the delusion is really that strong or if they're just really desperately trying to play cover up. And I think it's the latter.
And while the conservative politicians are, you know, distracting us with their stupidity and putting our lives in danger every day, the rich are getting richer and savoring the thought of profiting off of COVID. I read an interesting piece off of the business news off of MSN, which is Mark Larcy, hedge fund manager. And this is what he said. I know you're not supposed to say this, but it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. You're not going to see this again where you've actually got an economy that's fine and you've got a Fed pumping trillions of dollars in. He believes that debt investors like himself will make bank during COVID and down the road also. You've got a lot of companies, he continues, that are in trouble, he explained, comparing what we're seeing in the market now to what happened during the Great Recession. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but it happened 10 years ago, he added with a chuckle. So he's basically buying debt, buying companies that are, you know, in trouble, and when they inevitably go under, he's going to make profit off of the liquidation. And on top of that, it's in most states, billionaires have added additional wealth. So apparently, according to this hedge fund manager, the economy's fine, but we're still dumping trillions of dollars into it. And the Dow's not hurting. It's fluctuating, but it's been fluctuating since Trump's been in office. And there just seems to be like this thing of like the economy's going to collapse underneath us unless we force everybody to go back to work. And we've talked about it multiple times on this show. It's because we, the labor, power capital, and if they don't have us, they got nothing. So that's why they're pushing so hard to reopen. And still, in my opinion, because I don't see the damage to the economy at this current moment. Down the road, yes. But I think that's going to be exacerbated by all the stupid decisions the Republicans are making by pushing people back into work. Cases are surging everywhere. And as we said earlier, cities are shutting down again, going back to their first phase, or completely maybe even locking down. Like, this is like, this continuation is going to cause more economic harm in the long run when half the labor force is sick or has been sick.
And that's not to mention the question of if there's going to be an affordable vaccine or not. 'Cause right now, the only reports we've heard, I think we covered it last week or the week before, where the average dose of whatever fucking Gilead Pharmaceuticals, I don't know, whatever their name is between $2,500 to $3,000 per person to treat COVID, which is absurd. No one can afford that. Not the working class cannot afford that at all. But you're right. It's the... If COVID has taught us anything, especially the rich, is they need us, and they are scared to death of what might happen if we just, you know, went on strike or if we just stopped working. At the same time, I think that, you know, they're not worried about us dying or anything because they don't give a fuck, but this just... is kind of the story of capitalism, where it's all about power consolidation. And there's all of these unique opportunities. You know, there's this one right here. There was another one 10 years ago. There's a bunch back in, you know, the past century, not to mention the oil barons, the early 1900s or so. It's just another way for the rich and powerful to further the gap and further their control over the majority of the population. And that's all this is to them. It's another opportunity to get rich quick. And it's just like, this is what they never seem to ask themselves is, well, how long is this going to go on? How many more opportunities are there going to be to get rich and quick before the world goes to shit and everything's dead and none of it matters anymore? And they never seem to ask themselves. The capitalists don't, the Republicans don't, the Democrats don't, because they don't, I don't think they have the foresight that Republicans do, but it's just, this is capitalism 101, you know, continue the consolidation of everything and never worry about the future, because as long as I have mine, that's all that matters. Fuck the rest of you.
And on that note of, because of everybody has to get back to work and we have to try to return back to normal, Trump wants the schools reopened. There's been lots of blowback, lots of concerns, rightfully so. Even if it is true, and once again, what we know about COVID changes so much. Like, right, like we've heard that it doesn't affect kids as much as we thought, but we were also told that, oh, the incubation period, this, oh, it only lasts 14 days, oh, this. It's, the news is constantly changing. And that's because, you know, they're, scientists and are understanding more about it. And, you know, some theories are going to be wrong. And despite that, we are willing to send the children back to school. Trump wants it reopened. He's threatened funding for those that do not reopen. And that's insane to me. And this is the concern of, once again, even if the children are not as susceptible to COVID as, you know, older people are, or, you know, people in their 20s, 30s and up. Who's teaching the children? People that are older. So we're putting them at risk. And I don't know if you remember grade school or school altogether, but it's a petri dish. It's just like kids get sick. Kids share germs. Kids are snotty. And that's the concern that I have, is that like teachers are going to get sick. And this is like some of the news that I've heard about it is like, there was a Facebook group of teachers that were talking about getting wills made. Like if they did not have a will already, they were going to get wills made, and they were making plans for their children in case they in case they catch COVID themselves. And that's just like horrendous to me, that we're forcing people that are already terribly paid and overworked to add like 50 more spokes to the wheel that they have to do. Because now they have to temp check the kids before they enter the building. They have to sanitize their hands. They have to make sure they're not sharing lunches together, like trading food. They have to try to force masks on the places that are forcing masks. Lots of schools aren't doing that. And you've just added a whole new truckload of work on people that already just make shit for money.
Yeah, it's work, and the mental stress is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. I as a quick aside, like what you said about kids being a petri dish is absolutely true. I think I've been sick more times up through high school than I have through the rest of my life. It was actually during high school when I was, or was it middle school? I don't remember. I was the sickest I had ever been in my life. I had a really bad case of pneumonia, and the doctors didn't figure it out for a while, because I was fairly asymptomatic. I did not display all the sick symptoms that they would expect, but I was still extremely sick. So it just, you know, kids, what if a kid has COVID and they're asymptomatic? What if they, right? There's just too many variables. And teachers are talking about planning their wills because this is we don't have a fucking vaccine yet. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's too much going on with the school system to like force reopening if, you know, a specific school isn't ready to do so in a safe manner.
Mm-hmm. And just like another horror story, three teachers contracted COVID while sharing a classroom a couple weeks ago, potentially summer school. And one of them died. So that's already, we're starting off already on a bad note. And a Missouri school is asking parents to sign liability waivers for students for COVID if they participate in extracurricular activities. So like after school stuff and like sports and general stuff like that, they're getting them sign waivers. I mean, waivers are nothing new, but now you're adding another, like if you have to sign a waiver so you don't catch COVID, then you probably shouldn't have the activity, and you probably shouldn't even have school altogether. And the Trump administration is finding ways to justify it outside of trying to get normal with the suggestion that kids need their hot lunch. They're at risk for being stuck at home with an abusive parent. Assistant Secretary of Health Brett, I can't pronounce his name, but told ABC News this week that children not being in school risk their social, emotional risk, and many risk nutrition, the recognition of child abuse, sexual abuse, stressing the importance of returning physically to school. So suddenly they care about school children. All right, you know, put the money on the table, cancel all cancel the student lunch debt, in my opinion. Get more guidance counselors in there so they can talk about if they're being abused by their parents. This is just a weak, clearly transparent way of manufacturing the consent to get children back into school.
It is. And they were just like railing on these exact same things, like not earlier this year. Especially with California, there was a big, big fucking deal about some kid raising like a, doing like a charity thing, a charity drive to pay for student lunch debt for the kids in the school. And it's like, why should a kid have to open a lemonade stand to like do the right thing, to do what society should have been doing in the first place? And all of this like sudden concern with like nutrition when they never gave a fuck before, with child abuse, which they never gave a fuck before. If they really gave a fuck about child abuse, they would have fixed the foster care system decades ago to make sure that kids didn't end up in the same abusive households that they came from. Sexual abuse, this is fucking laughable. Given Jeffrey Epstein and everything that's going on right now with What's-Her-Face, who was directly implicated with Epstein. Maxine Waters or whatever, I forget her name. This is just what Republicans do. They don't give a fuck about anything until the narrative is convenient, and then all of a sudden they do. It will never cease to piss me the fuck off. Honestly,
I know.
They're all pieces of shit.
They're all pieces of shit. And going forward, more piece of shit news. The Trump administration has ordered hospitals to no longer submit to the CDC. So basically, they don't want hospitals reporting what's happening with COVID to the CDC. And a statement as of July 15th. Be yesterday by the time this recording comes out. Hospitals should no longer report the COVID-19 information in this document to the National Healthcare Safety Network site. So what I'm predicting here is that the COVID numbers are going to start getting a little lower week by week. They can't just say, oh, COVID's gone tomorrow or over the weekend with these numbers being reported. There's just going to be a lot of muddying of the water. You will probably still see like hospitals reporting to their state health departments who will release the numbers, but it's just going to muddy the water where it'll be harder to get like a pulse on what exactly is happening with COVID nationally. And that's purposeful. They want to try to depress the numbers, and that's the first way to do it is under. It's just basically cut the legs out from underneath the CDC.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know about the problem, then there is no problem.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Honestly, personally, I wouldn't trust anything outside of like. Well, shit, I don't know. I guess like the Johns Hopkins University tracker is probably based off of CDC information. Mm-hmm. I would assume. I wouldn't trust any of the fucking numbers until we start getting the vaccine. I wouldn't trust what's going on.
Just absolutely not.
Take all your precautions as much as possible.
Yeah. And when the numbers start, you know, diving like maybe like 10% daily, don't trust it. Look at your local news. I think I'm sure that there will be a way people will figure out a way to get accurate numbers out by compiling the health department numbers of each state and just, you know, getting that. But it's going to just slow the trickle of news that comes out daily about COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's with intent. Definitely with intent.
Yeah, absolutely.
The firm Teletracking is the one that is who hospitals are submitting the numbers to, and they won a non-competitive no bid contract in April. I don't know a lot about Teletracking. I'm sure more is going to come out in the coming days. People are going to do a little more digging in it, and I'm curious of where that goes.
Yeah, me too. I'll do some little side searches while we're doing this. See if I can dig up anything.
Yeah, you dig up, and I'll just talk about some of the other stupidity that's going on with COVID. This happened actually a couple weeks ago, but we were kind of more along the lines of still talking about the protests that are going on, and those are still going on all across the country, but still. But this week, wanted to talk a little more about COVID. And this is the sheer stupidity that's going on during a pandemic in this country is just astonishing to me. But in Alabama, there was a COVID party, and the challenge was they invited infected people with non-infected people, and the first to get infected got a payout.
I remember this. Fucking remember this.
Yeah.
This was in my yes. workplace.
Yes.
Someone died, right?
Not that I'm aware of at the Alabama party. But
I gotta
somebody did die in Houston, in Texas. A healthy 30-year-old attended a COVID party and he died. His last words to the nurse was, "I think I made a mistake. I thought it was a hoax, but it's not." I don't want to laugh about that because this person has a family, but god damn it, like, I'm seriously
sorry. I can't help myself.
No, like, when I first heard it, I fucking cracked up. And then I, like, when I heard his last words, and like, after a couple of days, I was like, okay, that's kind of fucking tragic. But at the same time, you play stupid games, you get stupid results.
And yeah, this isn't like a fucking horror movie where you can just kind of, you know, make bets willy-nilly and nothing happens. Like, this is real shit.
This is real fucking shit. What'd you think going in that COVID party? You were going to come out and be like, I'm a fucking meta-human super god. No, the dude got COVID. He fucking died. And that should just tell you that if his last words were, I made a mistake, I thought it was a hoax, but it's not. And, you know, the man, he's clearly got some family. But as I said, you play stupid games, you get stupid results. A large house party in Michigan infected 43 people.
Jesus.
And this is my favorite one. Starting tomorrow, there is a festival. It's called Mini Festival now. But it originally was called the Herd Immunity Festival. And it was featuring bands like Static X, Dope, and Nonpoint. Nonpoint dropped out from what I understand, but I don't know why they called it Herd Immunity Fest. They should have called it Trying to Stay Relevant Fest, but hey. Yeah, because who the fuck listens to those bands anymore? Even back when they were in their heyday, I was not particularly a fan of any of them. But that's my personal preference. If you are, sorry. But no. But the festival's taking place. Ringgold. What'd you say?
I was gonna say, like, they felt like the, at least with like Static X and some of the others, they felt like one hit wonders, but like from the early 2000s.
Yeah, in the early 2000s. I remember our former roommate actually loved Static X. He played them all the fucking time.
God. That's right.
Yeah, he fucking loves Static X. I was just like, I remember just like, do we really have to listen to this fucking band again? Why? They're so... That was like the new metal age, and like Static X was somewhere between new metal and like your more traditional metal, but just not my thing. Just not my thing at all. But
yeah,
back to it. It was originally called Herd Immunity Fest, and starting tomorrow, some bands have dropped out. The ticket, the bill looks significantly different, but they are still going on with it, and 3-day passes cost $150. Who the fuck is paying $150 to watch Static X and Dope?
Oh no! Hold on. How much are Bonnaroo tickets? Aren't they like $150?
Yeah, yeah. And with Bonnaroo,
and that's like a multiple day festival.
Yeah,
not,
yeah. Bonnaroo
like
is significantly more expensive, but the bill's fucking huge, and Lollapalooza is significantly more expensive, but the bill is still fucking huge. They're charging $150 so you can listen to Static X, dude, and like other irrelevant bands from the early 2000s. And this is the best part of this. They're asking fans to help them set up the fucking festival.
Oh no.
Yes.
This is like a grassroots fucking presidential campaign. It's like, yes, we don't have the money or infrastructure to do anything. So, yeah. Hey, fans, you want to
come set? Like they were, they took some pictures on their Instagram, but it's like them setting up like the bike rails and the other barriers and like helping with the stage and putting up tents and like booths and shit. And just like, oh my god. And they're selling t-shirts with a finger flipping off COVID. Like it's like a little skeleton hand with the middle finger putting the eye in COVID. And they,
oh my god.
Yeah, they thought that. And like, if a bunch of people get sick at Minifest / Herd Immunity Fest, I don't know what to fucking tell you. Like, if you're like, you know what, I'm willing to risk getting COVID to watch Static X and Dope play, that's on you, buddy. That is 100% on you.
You know, I just thought, I wonder how much those bands were paid to do this, right? Like, why else would they, where do they get the money for this shit? How are they still alive, you know, from like 20 years ago? I don't fucking know. This feels like manufactured fucking shitty pop music that should never exist.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't.
Trying to like, it's the dying breath, I think.
Yeah, this is
literally.
Yeah, this is going to be the dying breath, and all you're going to get to take away from it is your last memories before you get sick with COVID is at least you got to mosh the fucking Static X.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? If you're gonna die at a mosh, it may as well be a death wall, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I doubt there's gonna be a death wall.
Hell, no one has the balls for that shit anymore.
Not anymore. They don't.
Here's something a little interesting I saw on a teletracking, at least from Glassdoor. It's founded in 1991. Its revenue, okay, size is 201 to 500 employees. So isn't that just below like a, I don't know, whatever the thresholds are for like corporations or whatever, or small business classification? Is it like under 500 is considered small business, or is it 250?
I think
I honestly,
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyways, it's a private company, revenue 50 to 100 million per year. And it was made as a solution to solve the bed turnover problem using what was found in every patient room, a telephone. So, I don't know, I'm just kind of finding some surface level information, but it's a really small company in the grand scheme of things to get like a fucking like a no bid contract for that. It's, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they get it, because I mean, you know, we saw with the DNC primaries with the Iowa caucus shit show of the Shadow Inc. app, whatever it was called, that they developed. That was a small ass company, but that was still financed by establishment Democrats. So it's not out of, you know, teletrafficking could get this. I just want to find a little bit more history. I actually might write a fucking article on this if I can find some interesting information later on.
Yeah.
I want to see what they've been up to.
Yeah, I do too. We can always follow up with it later.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just what I was able to find for now.
We got plenty of time, dude. We're under quarantine.
We're going to be under quarantine for another year and a half. And
we might as well just do a fucking podcast every fucking day at this point.
Yeah, seriously. At least that way we'd be able to cover like every single
piece. Cover everything instead of trying to condense it. Yeah.
Oh, God. So, speaking of dumb shit, We got some real gems from the conservative spectrum of our fucking political institutions. So on QAnon Twitter, there is a clip of a Judge Judy episode from, I don't know, the early 90s. And apparently it had George Floyd. Not the George Floyd that was murdered by the police, but it was another George Floyd. It's like a 2-minute clip, and the George Floyd is like 16-year-old in this episode, and it's just a really dumb defense of some, I don't know, he like scratched a car or something. He was trying to divert blame to the police or something. There's a bunch of dumb people on Judge Judy, okay, but it's fun to watch because. But this got circulated under the pretense of like, oh my god, it's George Floyd on Judge Judy. Holy fucking shit, man! Check this shit out. But like, it's not actually the same person. The ages don't match between the dude on the episode and, you know, the actual George Floyd. But nevertheless, there are still QAnon people who are like, well, even if it's not the George Floyd, it's a George Floyd, this is still a ridiculous, you know, thing you've got to listen to. It's outrageous. And it's like, yeah, let's just like keep passively pretending the another conspiracy that George Floyd is actually alive, probably retired on some fucking Pacific island, getting billions of dollars from his fucking lawsuit that hasn't even settled yet, by that was started by his family. Like, at this point, it's like, don't think that George Floyd is still alive, but think that Elvis is alive. Like, at least do something harmless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, I've read several of those conspiracies about George Floyd being getting a payout, and that him and the officer were friends. And I was just like the mental gymnastics again. We always go back to the mental gymnastics, especially the QAnon people take.
Oh yeah, the QAnon they will do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of doing anything, one of the top writer, or the top writer, for Tucker Carlson on Fox News, you know, our favorite fucking Fox News. Isn't he like the most watched person on TV, I think, of all the news networks anyways? His top writer was discovered to be posting racist and sexist stuff online, big surprise, under a pseudonym of medieval king Charles the 12th. And Carlson later he resigned after this got, you know, revealed. And Carlson defended him, saying, "We're all human. We all make mistakes. Don't blame a man for what he can't control." It's like, well, wait, hold on. If you can't control, like, white nationalist thoughts, then I don't know. The biological prescriptiveness never seems to match up with these white supremacists, right? Somehow no. Thoughts are going to be something you can't control, but race is something you can, or socioeconomic factors is something you can control. I don't know, that you're born into. Like, I don't know. It's insane.
Tucker Carlson is like, my feelings towards Tucker is that he's always been more of a libertarian-esque person, especially back in the early days when he was on CNN on that horrible Crossfire show. But he's just become worse and worse. And I feel like he jumped on the Trump gravy train and just went full fucking nationalist on everybody. By no means am I condoning his behavior before Trump came around. He was always a piece of shit, in my opinion, and will probably always be a piece of shit.
Oh, for sure. He's straight up said at some point that he'll do whatever his corporate overlords want him to. You know, not exact quotes, but, and I mean, Biden has said the same thing on the Senate floor and you know, Congress floor. If someone's gonna pay him, he's gonna do their bidding. You know, it's just Carlson has gone way. He's really taken the big checks compared to Biden. but yeah. So moving on, Trump did another dog whistle, another fascist dog whistle, with his Twitter saying the silent majority capitalized. Will resign. I wish they would fucking resign. The silent majority will reign. Of course, this is not at all in reference to Nazis or white supremacists or fascists or the grassroots militia that he's trying to build up. Of course not. Actually, you know, it's interesting you say the silent majority will reign. This seems like a really inadvertent admission that the Republican Party is the Republican Party is the minority, actually. So I just countered my own point. But he's trying to say that they are the majority when they're not. I think it's about 25% of people vote Republican, because only about 50% of the voting base actually votes. Yeah, and we were kind of talking about this last bit earlier, where Trump fired Brad Parscale as the campaign manager, and he has been demoted to senior advisor.
His position.
Yeah. And his replacement is Bill Stepien. Now, I don't know too much about Bill Stepien, but according to the CNN White House correspondent Jeremy Diamond, he tweeted that basically this is in response to the absolute atrocity that the Tulsa Trump rally was. He tweeted, "A Trump political advisor says the Tulsa debacle appears to have been the last straw. Trump never got over it and blamed Parscale. In recent weeks, Trump has taken to cutting Parscale off and disagreeing with nearly every idea he offered." So it just, that Trump is just, he's always been vain, but his vanity is really showing now, where if anyone makes the slightest mistake, they're going to get fucking axed. And that, you know, this is just, not how you really take power. He's just obsessed with power. He just doesn't, he's not very smart. He's not very good at it. I don't know. That's my impression of it. It's just Trump's vanity, just overshining, outshining everything else that he's trying to do with his administration.
Yeah. Like the minute the Pascal thing happened, I was like, well, I'll call that shit. That had been a slow burn ever since the disaster rally. Like, I remember watching the rally live and just seeing that nobody was there, that the overcrowd, place that Trump was going to briefly make a statement to was empty. The numbers of being like 100,000 and there only being like 6,000. He was just, the minute all that stuff started playing out, and then hearing that they put, that Pascal put reservations on TikTok, I was just like, oh man, he's fucking done.
We have the K-pop stans to thank for that.
Yeah,
thank
you so much, K-pop stans. I still don't understand Pascal's reasoning for going to Zoomer Paradise to advertise for and like for the rally.
That is a total misread on his
part. Yeah, that was a total misread of the room. Like, know your audience, dude. And TikTok is not your audience. Yes, there are some fucking righties on TikTok that, you know, say some stuff, but for the most part, it's pretty much Zoomers and K-pop people on there. So why did you do that? But yeah, Pascal being demoted, I'm surprised. Like they say, the only reason why he was not axed completely is because of his close relationship with like the other Trump, the Trump family. Like they said, Kushner convinced him not to leave completely. Mm-hmm. I don't know how valid that is, but it makes a little sense to me, because usually something so fucking embarrassing to Trump usually leads to people being just completely thrown in the trash bin.
Yeah. Yeah, it, it's the nepotism, really. If you're a good enough friend with someone, then with Trump, then, you know, mm-hmm. maybe you're not going to get hit as hard. Yeah, I don't know. And this was, we mentioned this before last week, but this is in contrast, you know, with Michael Flynn taking the QAnon pledge, just before the 4th of July, or on the 4th of July, I guess, at this point. And then suddenly people started talking about, you know, hey, maybe Flynn should get his spot on the campaign trail back because he's been such an avid Trump supporter. You know, maybe he'll get that, but that's going to come at a cost, because if he fucks up once, then again, maybe not. I mean, Flynn basically maybe saved his ass in the grand scheme of things. So maybe he'll get the same treatment as Pascal. Like, well, maybe we won't throw you in jail and, you know, say you committed suicide. maybe we'll just pretend you never existed instead. I don't know. I'm fucking rambling at this point, mm-hmm. but it's just interesting. Fascinating how much someone's life is worth in the eyes of a fucking wannabe dictator.
Mm-hmm. I don't know anymore. I don't know either.
I'm at a fucking loss for words too.
Yeah.
All this shit's insane, but I guess with that, was there anything else you wanted to cover? Or
no.
I think that about covers it for this week.
Yeah, that covers it for this week.
Cool. Okay, another under our episode. Again, this is fucking cause for celebration.
We finally expedited our process.
Yeah. This is so, good times. So
yeah, if you like what we do, go to AmericanShakedown.com. Give us good ratings on whatever podcast platform you're on. Follow us, and it helps people find the show. So help us out.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Have a great night.